In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. This time with you who are our friend, our Savior, Redeemer, our God, and you have loved us, and we want to love you in return. And we can look today at an example of a priest, a saint, who described himself as a man who knew how to love, Saint Jose Maria. I lived close to him for 2 years in Rome in the early 1960s, and we had literally hundreds of get-togethers with him in my 2 years in Rome, and it really struck me how much he loved God, and it was obvious how much he loved others. A man of great heart, of great affection. And we are all called to love. Why? Because you loved us first. St. John writes that in the fourth chapter of his first letter. Let us read his words. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. God loved us first, and God loved us when we were so unworthy of his love. So much did God love the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Why would God love this world that was distanced from him by original sin and personal sins? But he did. And as Pope Benedict says in his first encyclical, God is Love, God loved us with both eros and agape. Eros, that love of romance, of the heart, of the emotions, that draws the beloved into itself. And God did that. He loved us with eros, with that romantic love that drew human nature and humankind into his divine Son. And then, as Pope Benedict points out, eros is elevated and purified by agape, by that self-giving, sacrificial love. And Lord, you became man, dwelt amongst us, suffered at our hands, and then, in your passion and death, gave your life to the end, suffering unspeakably. That love of agape. And Lord, if you have loved us first, how can we not love you in return? And then, too, another reason why we should love you. You made us in your image and likeness. You gave us an intellect and a free will. With our intellect, we can know reality. We can know the good. And with our will, we choose that good, we love that good, and we find joy. Everyone wants to be happy. And we find happiness when we possess a good. And you are the infinite good. We want to love you so that we will have that great joy. St. Augustine expresses it in those familiar words from his Confessions. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And finally, we were made in the image of God. Image. And as St. John writes in that same fourth chapter of his first letter, God is love. Lord, if we are made in your image, and you are love, we are love. We are called to love. And St. John Paul II says that in his apostolic exhortation, Familiaris Consortio. God created man in his own image and likeness, calling him to existence through love. He called him at the same time for love, creating the human race in his own image and continually keeping it in being. God inscribed in the humanity of man and woman the vocation and thus the capacity and responsibility of love and communion. Love is therefore the fundamental and innate vocation of every human being. Vocation, calling. We are called to love for those reasons we have just said. And in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, the Redeemer of Man, John Paul II wrote, "Man cannot live without love. He remains a being that is incomprehensible for himself. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him, if he does not encounter love, if he does not experience it and make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in it." We all have that experience. When we encounter love, other people who love us, others that we love, life has meaning. Otherwise, it is senseless. But always, even for those who do not experience much love on this earth from human beings, God loves them. Lord, you love everyone. You love mankind. You love me. We should be very personal about this. It's not that God loves everyone. Yes, he does, but he loves me. This poor sinner that I am, and we all ask, Lord, why would you want to love me, this poor sinner? But you do. This is your love. This is your going beyond appearances to see the goodness that you have put in each and every one of us. You created the world, and you saw that it was good. So that first, we should love you. And here, Saint Josemaria truly loved you. In those many get-togethers, no matter what he was talking about, it might have been about some human virtue, about some reality in the world, or about Our Lady, the Blessed Eucharist, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, the Mass, friendship, freedom. No matter what he was talking about, one saw his love for God. And then attending his Masses, and I only attended one or two, one saw a tremendous piety, a tremendous reverence, being totally absorbed by that encounter with you, which the Mass was. And the same in his preaching. A great love for God. And I remember leaving those get-togethers and thinking at times, I have to love God more. He inspired love in others. And if we ask, how did he have such a great love for God? The same way that all of us can have it. First of all, reflecting on that reality that you love us first. When someone loves us, we are inclined to love him or her in return. But then we spend time with you. How do human friends grow in their friendship? Sometimes to the point where they marry each other. They spend time together. They talk. And this is prayer. We spend time with you. Saint Josemaria spent 2 periods of time each day in mental prayer. Did he always feel like it? No, he didn't. He says that. On some occasions, he said he felt as cold as ice before the divine fire of the tabernacle. He was flat. We all are at times. Perhaps there's something else we would rather do than spend this time in prayer. But he was faithful to his prayer, and Lord, help us to be faithful to our prayer and those various forms of prayer, mental prayer or meditation on the one hand, where we simply talk with you and listen to you. We talk in our own words. Help us to find times for mental prayer each day. the rosary, that consideration of your life. What are we considering in the mysteries of the rosary but your life, your infancy in the joyful mysteries, your public life in the mysteries of light, your suffering and death in the sorrowful mysteries, your resurrection and glorification in the glorious mysteries. The rosary is about you, and we have those brief periods of meditation on your life in each one of the mysteries. And then it's a prayer about Mary, too, as we say 50 Hail Marys and tell our Mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then we ask her for her intercession. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Mass. St. Jose Maria was totally caught up in the Mass, which he called the center and root of our interior life. And it certainly was the center of his day, the most important act of any priest. And for all of us, the Mass that we can attend not only on Sundays, but during the week as well, should be the center of our life, that we arrive early, that we attend well, that we listen carefully to the readings. We will always take something away from those readings. Perhaps there is a homily, and there some practical way of putting into practice what we have heard will help us too. And above all, Holy Communion. Lord, if we want to grow in love for you, the more often we receive Holy Communion, the more we will grow quicker. Because in communion, as you said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. It's a foretaste of heaven. We are one with you in that communion, that union with you that communion is. And then reading the scriptures, your love letters to mankind, to read them over and over again, to get to know you. And the more we know you, the more we will love you. And spiritual reading of other books, where those various writers have given something that can inspire us, that can move us in our life of piety, and always they lead back to you, to greater love for God. These were the means that St. Jose Maria had, that we all have. Lord, help us to use them so that we too can grow and have a great love for you. And then the other salient aspect of St. Jose Maria's love was his love for others. His affection. Of all the people that I have met over the years, he was the one that stood out the most as someone that was so big-hearted, kind, affectionate, good-humored, seeking the good of those around him and brightening their life. For me, he was like a spiritual volcano filled with that molten lava of the love of God that poured out into love of others. His warmth, his smile, his good nature inspired everyone. Everyone loved to be with him, and he loved everyone. He loved the healthy, and he loved the sick, and he was especially concerned about the sick. If someone had been sick and he saw him once again in the get-together, he would often ask, How are you, my son? Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you feeling better? He really cared about those who were suffering. He loved the wealthy and the poor. And there were people from the royal families of Europe that came to see him. And of course, he received them, showed them his kindness. And he loved the very, very poor and uneducated. And I think of those photographs of him with a very simple woman from Mexico who had two daughters in Opus Dei. And that woman felt unworthy to speak with him standing up, and she got down on her knees And he got down on his knees to talk with her face to face. He loved Catholics and non-Catholics. It didn't make a difference. All were children of God. All have a place in heaven. He loved his friends and he loved his enemies, although he never considered that he was an enemy of anyone. But there were people that had hurt him, had spread lies about him. And he prayed for them every day in Mass. As he said in the Memento of the Living in the first Eucharistic prayer, which was the only one that existed in those days, he would pause and he would pray for his sons and daughters in Opus Dei, and immediately afterwards pray for those who had hurt him. He loved them too. And there's that anecdote of him in a taxi in Madrid after the Civil War, which ended in 1939, which divided that country, which killed 6,000 priests. And they were discussing the events that had led up to that war. And St. Jose Maria ventured the opinion that what a shame it was that this country had to go to war. And he said, for example, you and I might have different opinions on some matters, but we can discuss them. Perhaps I will accept your opinion. Perhaps you will accept mine. And if neither of us can accept the other, we can agree to disagree. And the taxi driver asked him, were you in Madrid during the war? And he said, yes, I was. And the taxi driver said, what a shame they didn't kill you. An insult. It would have enraged anyone else. He would have demanded that the taxi driver stop. He would have got out and stormed away. What was the response of this saintly priest? To ask the taxi driver whether he had any children. And he said yes. And as they were nearing their destination, he took out the money for the fare and also something extra and said, here, buy some lollies for your children. This was the response of a saint to that man who would have been a totalitarian. He wanted all to think alike, and if we couldn't agree, we would have to fight. This was the love for others of a saint. And St. Jose Maria, in his homily on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, said, God does not say, in exchange for your own heart, I will give you a will of pure spirit. No, he gives us a heart, a human heart, like Christ's. I don't have one heart for loving God and another for loving people. I love Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit and Our Lady with the same heart with which I love my parents and my friends. I shall never tire of repeating this. We must be very human, for otherwise we cannot be divine. And St. Jose Maria was so human. He had a big heart. And he goes on in that homily. Human love, the love we experience on earth when it is really genuine, helps us to savor divine love. That is how we grasp the love by which we rejoice in God and which we will share in heaven when the Lord is everything to everyone. If we begin to understand God's love, we will feel impelled to become increasingly more compassionate, more generous, more dedicated. To love with our heart, love God, love our neighbor with the same heart. And then that love for God, which is poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, as St. Paul writes, and we have received the love of God. It's been poured into our hearts with sanctifying grace. Then we will be more compassionate, generous, dedicated in our love for others. And later in that same homily, he says, no one can live out this love unless he is taught in the school of the heart of Jesus. Only if we watch and contemplate the heart of Jesus will we ensure that our heart is freed from hatred and indifference. Only in this way will we know how to react as Christians to the pain and sufferings of others, to be truly compassionate, to see the suffering, the hardship of others, and respond to it, as St. Jose Maria did. And then, a little bit later in that same homily, in his collection, Christ is Passing By, he says, if we don't learn from Jesus, we will never love. If, like some people, we were to think that to keep a clean heart, a heart worthy of God, means not, quote, mixing it up, not contaminating it with human affection, we would become insensitive to other people's pain and sorrow. We would be capable only of an official charity, something dry and soulless. But ours would not be the true charity of Jesus Christ, which involves affection and human warmth. Lord, grant us a heart like yours, a heart like that of St. Jose Maria, to love you and to love our neighbor. And we can ask ourselves, first, do I really love God? Lord, you can ask me, as you asked St. Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And we should all ponder that question. And you are asking us the same question, calling us by our first name. Do you love me? And Lord, perhaps we say, Lord, I do love, but help me to love you more. And St. Jose Maria writes in The Way, my God, I love you, but oh, teach me to love. A good answer to that question. We do love you. That's why we're praying. But teach us to love you more so that we can love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And then we will love our neighbor more too. And that other question we can ask ourselves, do I really come across to others as a man, a woman who loves? Do people see us as someone who is affectionate, kind, big-hearted, generous, compassionate? Do we care? Do we go out of our way? Do we ask people how they are and do whatever we can to help them? We should be that bright light in their life, as St. Jose Maria was the bright light in the lives of so many. When he would go to those big hospitals in Madrid in the 1930s, and where there were people lying in the corridors because there weren't enough beds. And many of them were suffering from tuberculosis, which was at that time incurable and contagious. And he was risking his life to go there. That when he would arrive at the hospital, word would run through the hospital amongst the patients, Don Jose Maria is here. And everybody would brighten up. This priest brought joy. Do I bring joy? Do I brighten the environment wherever I am? Lord, help us to be like that, that other people are happy when we are with them. The light goes out a little bit when we leave. And we can be that if we love you first, and then your love will be communicated through us to others. And amongst the ways of showing that love is concern for the souls of others, for their eternal salvation. Because if we truly care about someone, we care about their bodily health. If someone is becoming thin and without energy and pale, we are concerned. And we will ask them, have you seen a doctor? Do you feel well? We think there might be something serious. We will take them to see a doctor. We care. But if we care about their bodily health, all the more should we care about their spiritual health. Because after all, if they died from cancer, they could go straight to heaven. If they died from a spiritual cancer, from a lack of love for God, from a life of sin, they could go straight to hell. And Lord, if these people are in our life, and they can be in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. We should care about them and talk with them too. And through our friendship, get to know where they are spiritually and invite them to come back to God, to come closer to God. Perhaps give them something to read. Invite them to a talk. Invite them to talk with a priest or a good friend who can help them. Bring them closer to God. That's the greatest favor we can do to people, and they will be eternally grateful to us for it. We finish our prayer, and we go to Our Lady. Mary, no one loved God more than you. You received God into your womb in the Annunciation when you said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." And you were faithful to your Jewish prayers, and you went with Joseph to Jerusalem for the Passover each year, and undoubtedly you went to the synagogue every Saturday. You loved God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and helped me to do the same. And then you loved your neighbor. And no clearer example of that than having just conceived Jesus in your womb, when you could have been thinking about yourself and preparing for the birth and preparing for your wedding, because while you were betrothed, you had not yet celebrated the marriage. And what did you think of your aging relative, Elizabeth? She was in her 6th month, as you had just been told, and you went and visited her a 3 or 4 day journey away and spent 3 months with her, bringing joy to Elizabeth, to John the Baptist in her womb, and to Zechariah, her husband. This is love for one's neighbor. This is generosity. This is compassion. And what joy you brought. Mary, help me. Help all of us to love God as you did, to love our neighbor as you did. And we can ask St. Jose Maria to help us to be a person who knows how to love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.